with the church family a letter received from the Peacock family, our missionaries up in Baffin Island. We had the privilege of putting together some groceries for them and sending them up. And you've already seen a slight video, or some of you got to see it. You were here and we showed a video of them receiving it. But here's a letter that has come recently. And then here's a whole page of pictures for you to enjoy watching the kids get the surprises that you stuffed in the crate. All the different things that you sent along to be a blessing to them that they didn't expect. But here's what the letter says. Dear Pastor McLean and people of New Testament Baptist Church, we don't know how to say thank you enough to you good folks for the immense help you've been to our family by putting together our sea lift for this year. We know from experience how much time and work go into all the planning and coordinating, traveling to and from different stores, trying to find all the items on the list, as well as enough of each item for a year. Making spur-of-the-moment adjustments for different brands, sizes, not enough of something, out-of-stock items, then, of course, buying everything. In addition to all of that, you built our crate for us, packed everything, plus extras and a smiley face, into the crate just so to make everything fit, and then drove the crate all the way to the port. We appreciate the phone calls, emails, and texts from all those who were trying to make sure they were getting exactly what we wanted, and we enjoyed getting to know some of you folks a bit better in the process. We tried our best to put enough info on our sea lift list to hopefully be helpful without being overburdensome with excess preferences. We're not sure if we succeeded in our goal or not, smiley face, but you all did an excellent job regardless, and we're so thankful. You saved us much work, time, and money, and we really appreciate all you've done. May God bless you for it. We also were in for quite a surprise when we opened up the crate and goodies galore started showing up in every nook and cranny. Smiley face again. We are very grateful for all the little boy clothes you sent up. There were some gaps in his little wardrobe for some of those smaller sizes of baby clothes, and you certainly helped fill those in. What a blessing. What a huge blessing. There were so many gifts and special things in the crate in addition to the clothes, too. Many thanks to each one who gave these bonus items. Your thoughtfulness and generosity has certainly gone far above and beyond what we anticipated. Thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed the little video we put together. Hopefully it helped you to be able to better understand what happened to the crate after it got dropped off at the port. We look forward to the next time we visit your church and getting to see you all in person again. Serving him together, Thad and Emily, Katie, Heather, Sarah, Jenna, Lindsay, and Isaac Peacock. So I hope you'll get to enjoy those pictures. We'll make sure that gets to the back, and I want you to enjoy seeing their joy at what you were able to do with God's help for them. All right, let's get to the preaching of God's Word this morning. I want to go first to the Old Testament and read you a couple of passages of Scripture. Then we'll go to the New Testament. If you want to follow me for these initial passages, we'll go back to the book of Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah chapter 24. If I were to entitle the message this morning, there are a lot of ways I thought about doing it, but I guess probably the most practical way would be to say, what is the extent of New Testament Baptist Church's responsibility? What is the extent of my responsibility as a member of New Testament Baptist Church? Isaiah chapter 24, did I say 26? 24, beginning in verse number 13. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Watch this next statement. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. I must tell you that you're not going to hear songs from the uttermost part of the earth that are giving glory to God, who alone is righteous, unless the ends of the earth or the uttermost part of the earth have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, have learned the truth of God revealed in Scripture. Now go to Jeremiah chapter 16. So that's a prophetic passage, and we're not preaching on that text. I just wanted you to hear those words. That is an anticipation that God's name will be known throughout the world to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's his purpose and plan and program and his promise. Jeremiah 16 and verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. If you didn't catch it, what they used to say about Israel, this is the people God delivered from Egypt. What they're going to say, and now we're living in the fulfillment of that, they're no longer talking about the children of Israel being delivered from Egypt. They're talking about God bringing them back from captivity and being scattered throughout all the earth, bringing them back to their homeland. And Israel is home today, the children of Israel. And here's how God said he was going to do it. Verse 16, behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes. At first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land. They have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. But watch, O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. So God is going to make it so that the Gentiles will come to him from the ends of the earth, recognizing that they didn't know the truth before. And he has revealed truth to them, and therefore they will come to him because of the revelation of truth. Now go with me to Luke's gospel and the last chapter, chapter 24. Very familiar verses. So will be the next text. Luke was privileged to be led by the Holy Spirit to record the life of Christ in the Gospel of Luke, and then to write a second record, which was a history of the disciples of Christ carrying out the commands of Christ after Christ's resurrection to heaven. That's the book of Acts. So we're going to read the last few verses here of Luke chapter 24 and then go into Acts chapter 1. So we'll skip over the Gospel of John in the process. In verse 44, and he, that is Jesus, said unto them, that is his disciples, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. In other words, the Old Testament. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now skip ahead to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. beginning in verse 1. The former treatise, that would be the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke that we just read from. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we need the help of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Lord Jesus for those who were his disciples. We need his help to understand. As you open the understanding of the disciples, would you be pleased today, by grace, in mercy, to open our understanding more than ever before about the extent of our personal responsibility in this matter of world evangelization. We will not understand it. We will not get it. We will not do it without your help. Help us, Father. Please open our eyes that we may behold, that we may see, and that we may be changed. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. One more verse of Scripture. I'm going to quote to you from Psalms chapter 2 and verse number 8. This is a prophetic statement made to the Son of God. You have to read Psalm 2 to get that, but it's there. And here's what it says: Ask of me. Here's God speaking to his Son. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Did you get it? The Father bestowed upon his Son the honor of requesting the heathen, the uttermost part of the earth, for his inheritance and possession. And the Father said, If you ask, I will give it. Do you think the Lord Jesus asked? The answer is yes. Is the Father faithful to his promise to give him the heathen and the uttermost part of the earth as his inheritance, as his possession? The answer is yes. The word heathen in that passage refers to the people outside of Israel. The term as it's used in the Old Testament refers to a foreign people or a foreign nation or the Gentiles. But basically everybody else other than the nation of Israel was promised. He came unto his own. He was sent unto his own, to the Jewish people. But all the rest of the world, God said to his Son, the Savior of the world, if you ask, I'll give them to you for inheritance. And to the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. That's the promise of God to the Lord Jesus. Where is the Lord Jesus today? According to Scripture, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Wherefore, Hebrews says, he is able to save to the uttermost, to the extreme limits. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by faith in him. Because he makes intercession for us. That's where he is. But wait a minute. as you read your New Testament, we are told that he has a body yet on earth. His physical flesh and blood body that came forth from the womb of Mary, created miraculously by the act of God, that flesh and blood body, we saw or we heard that the disciples witnessed that flesh and blood body going up into heaven. And before he went up, he said to them, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, and you're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Later, as the Apostle Paul, missionary, writes the letters to the churches, he makes it plain that the church, the local church, the assembly of believers, is the body of Jesus on earth. Are you with me? Anybody want to argue that point? The book of Ephesians says, the church which is his body, the fullness of him who filleth all in all. It's his body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the scripture says that you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God, now this is written to a local church, just like we have here. This local church was in Corinth, and the letter said, you are the body of Christ, and you are members in particular. And then he said, God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. So get the picture now. Where is the body of Christ? Well, the physical flesh and blood body of the Lord Jesus is in heaven. But he came to save the lost and to build a church, a local assembly, or a body on earth that would carry out the work he did with his body on earth. New Testament Baptist Church, in the terminology of the Bible, you and I, members of this church as an assembly, we were put together, we were assembled by God. God made the body of Jesus in the womb of Mary, and God in Hamilton, Ontario, has brought various members or individuals into this body, and God has built this church. This church is a body, the body of Christ, built by God to do the will and the work of God with the power of the Spirit of God. Are you with me? That's who we are. That's what we are. That's why it's the will of God that every believer should be part of the local church. God's plan is for every believer to be a member of a local church, identified with that church, a member of the body of Christ. But it is God that does that. The Bible says in the early days in the book of Acts, that God added to the church daily such as should be saved. So God builds the church. God takes members or people and saves them. And when they're baptized, then God puts them in the assembly. God adds them to the church. So what's God doing? He's building the church. And he sets them in the body as it pleases him. But you're looking up here. If you're looking up here right now, you're looking at a body. And this is the body that is identified by a name, Douglas McLean. This body has many members. Some of those members you are clearly aware of. You've seen them. You see them. But there are many parts of the body, many members of the body that you do not see. But every one of those members, God, the designer of this body, placed in the body for the purpose of working together to do what he ordained for the body to do. Are you with me? So every member of the local church has been given to the church with the design that it cooperate with and do its part and fulfill its function in accomplishing the purpose for which God designed that body. Are you with me? See, I've been guilty, and others as well, of creating a wrong mindset in the mind of God's people regarding the fulfilling of world evangelization. We have got the idea that what we're supposed to do is, as a local body here in Hamilton, Ontario, we're supposed to do the work of God here. And then we can subcontract the work of world evangelization in Judea. We're here in Jerusalem. Hamilton's our Jerusalem. But we're to be preaching the gospel, being witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part, the extreme limits of the world or of the earth. So what we do is we say we can do the work of God here, but we'll subcontract the work of God to be done elsewhere in our province and elsewhere in our country and elsewhere around the world across the sea. We will find somebody who's willing to do the work of God there, and we will contribute to their support, and that's what we do. That's missionary giving. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm all for that. I'm all for the support of missionaries. When God calls a man or a woman or a family to go, I'm all for us contributing. That's biblical. Paul wasn't sent by the church at Philippi, but the church at Philippi sent once and again to his necessity and supported him and gave to him so that he could accomplish the work he was sent. He was sent out by another church, but other churches participated and cooperated in giving. But here's what we've done. We have, by adopting that model in our mind, we have exempted ourselves from personal responsibility to be preaching the gospel in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Let's rewind, go all the way back through history to this moment in time we just read about in the book of Acts. 12 men, other believers assembled around them. But the Lord Jesus said to them, you're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. That which motivated me, that which empowered me, that which was the secret of my ministry is the secret of your ministry. And when you receive him, you're going to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. And the disciples did not shirk that responsibility. Once they received the promise of the Holy Spirit, they spontaneously begin to preach and spontaneously begin to witness there at home. And then wherever they went, they witnessed. And it was those men accepting the responsibility went out, and they didn't send others out. They cooperated with others who went out, but they still took seriously the responsibility to go into all the world, to the uttermost part of the earth, and preach the gospel. Would it be okay if New Testament Baptist Church did this? It's okay, we're a church, we've been established here, God's given us a building, God's given us some finances. I'll tell you what, let's find somebody who wants to build Sunday school classes, and we'll give them money to go build Sunday school classes. And we'll meet together here in New Testament Baptist Church, and we'll sing songs, and we'll take care of one another, and enjoy pie fellowships, and just rejoice in being saved and look forward to heaven. But we'll find somebody who likes to build Sunday school classes, and we'll give them money to go do that. And we'll find somebody who likes to do Bible clubs in schools and work with kids in local schools. So we'll find somebody, we'll give them money, and we'll find somebody who enjoys nursing home ministry and who's willing to go to nursing homes, and we'll pay for them to go to the nursing home so that they can reach out. And so, recognizing that evangelizing the world's our responsibility, we will pay someone. Do you suppose if Matthew and John and James and Peter and all those guys did that, do you think the Lord would be pleased? Do you think that's what God has in mind? That's ridiculous. We wouldn't do that. You know what's supposed to be happening? What's supposed to be happening is that members of this local church, because we are indwelt by the Spirit of God, we are supposed to be impelled from within to evangelize, to start Bible clubs, to start nursing home ministries, to start teen outreaches, to start junior churches, to start Sunday schools, to start mission efforts, to send missionaries out from our church. That's what God wants to happen and what's supposed to be happening. And we should not just be satisfied with sending, and our church missionary family, I think is over 40 mission families or families and organizations, excuse me, right now, 42 that we're sending. We shouldn't just be satisfied to do that. We should want to be doing something personally in that country. For example, visiting the missionary. Go there. Get personally involved. Buying Bibles, translating Bibles, sending Bibles to the uttermost parts of the earth. What I'm trying to say to you is that if we go strictly by Bible and not by what we've been taught, we will be extremely sensitive to our personal responsibilities as a church to be always looking to go everywhere with the gospel of Jesus Christ and establish churches and win the lost and see them baptized. Is that what we're doing? At Greater Vancouver Baptist Church, I was thrilled to sit while they had Skype from their missionaries and realize that they had the joy as a church family of looking at two or three men that they had personally through their ministry, through soul winning in Jerusalem, Vancouver, they had won to Christ, they had taught them, discipled them, trained them, and those men have gone out to other places and have started churches and are now pastoring churches and preaching the gospel and working on the field. They sent one of their own, and they're personally involved in that place and have the joy of seeing what they're doing to impact. Do you understand what I'm saying? What a joy. This all began in my mind and thinking because I was remembering the letter that we received recently from Winkler, Manitoba. You remember Pembina Valley Baptist Church and how they went? I can't remember the name of the town now, but they went to a town recently and several of their church families took a week's vacation and committed themselves to go, and they went and spent the week in another city and gave out the gospel, gave out invitations, had get acquainted meetings, preached the gospel, and laid the groundwork for a church to get started. They didn't just hire somebody to go. They didn't just pay somebody to go. They went. They got involved. That's what God wants the local church to be. And folks, we're missing it at New Testament, and it's the fault of the leadership. I firmly accept that. I am the shepherd, and I am supposed to be evangelistic. I'm supposed to be looking for every way. And if the Spirit of God lives in me, He should be filling my heart with compassion and urging me and motivating me to see the world and to want to start a ministry and start another ministry, but it shouldn't just be the pastor. There should be those in here that say, we need to be reaching kids, and the Spirit of God convicting you about starting a Sunday school class, or you about starting a bus route, or you about starting a nursing home ministry. There are a lot of nursing homes in this city we don't have a ministry to. We go and preach a couple of times every now and then to various ones, but and there are so many other ways. And by the way, I believe if New Testament Baptist Church got involved in world evangelization at home in Jerusalem, all of us realizing we're all part of the body of Christ, and the body of Christ was always about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus, if we all took seriously our responsibility and all got involved in some fashion, there wouldn't be any problem getting missionaries for the foreign field. Because God will take from the people who are evangelizing, who have a heart for the lost, who are going to be obedient to the gospel, and call them from their local church and go to another part of the world. Are we burdened for the world? Do you understand it's our personal responsibility? We can reject it if we want. We can say it's not my responsibility. That's the preacher's responsibility. God's not talking to me. Did you watch the video when we began the service this morning? What is a missionary? I'm a missionary. God looked for a missionary. What's he looking for? Somebody who's willing to say no to the comforts of this world. Somebody who's willing to take their eyes off of wealth and comfort and convenience and care about souls. And be willing to sleep anywhere, eat anything, go anywhere, put up with any conditions with a smile. That's what God's looking for. Why wouldn't he be looking for you? Why does it always have to be somebody else? But what I want you to see this morning is God looked at an assembly of believers, and spoke to that assembly of believers and said, you're to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And they did it. They did it. Why? Because the Spirit of God was in them. So we have to face a very uncomfortable question this morning. Where is the Spirit of God in me? Has he changed? They weren't very comfortable with going to the rest of the world until they received the promise of the Spirit. Until that which was in Christ and motivating Christ was in them. And now all of a sudden they see, now all of a sudden they have a heart and compassion and a burden for, and now they're going, and now they're giving, and now they're serving. Where is the Holy Spirit? Number one, do I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me? You do if you're a believer. So if he's not present there, are you a believer? Are you truly born again? Is he resident in your life? Number two, if he is, have you quenched him? Have you grieved him and quenched him because you're in love with the world and the things of the world, in love with comfort and self? We need revival. We need God to take that away from us. We need shaking up. We need a change of government. We need some hard times. We need some persecution, some difficulty to get us to get our eyes off of ourselves and our comfort level and get involved in the world. again, and I'm going to finish now in just a moment, Jesus was the one who was spoken to in the Old Testament, Psalm 2, verse 8, the Father says to him, ask of me. Where is Jesus now? He's right here. On earth, he's right here. This local church and every local church is the body of Jesus Christ. And the promise is if we will ask of him. You say, well, that was the promise to Jesus. Yeah, where is his body today? It's right here, you and me. So the promise is to us, if we will ask, if we will pray, if we will plead, he will give us the heathen for an inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for possession. Do we care? Are we concerned? Are we burdened? Well, my time is gone. We've done a little extra. And I yet have one more thing I want to do. In light of what you just heard, so if you'll think back to that little thing about God created a missionary. And he talked about what he needed, and God created a missionary. Think about this truth, our personal and individual responsibility as a member of the body of Christ. Now I want you to watch one more quick video, and then I'm going to give an invitation. Watch this video. This is the testimony of a number of missionaries in West Africa. This is a unique thing. They call it a cardboard testimony. So you'll need to be able to watch and read the words. They're going to hold up cardboard and give a test. Nobody's going to say anything. But they're going to tell you the story on a piece of cardboard. I want you, please, please, please look at what's going on. Look at who they are. Look at what they're telling you. They're going to tell you one thing on one side, then turn over and tell you the other thing on the other side. Church, let God speak to your heart while you watch this cardboard testimony of missionaries to West Africa.